Can I see the counsel for a moment in the hallway regarding scheduling? Who will be the next witness?
Your Honor, due to scheduling difficulties, we'd like to call Bob Nelson at this time.
Okay, this is a defense witness called out of order?
Yes, Your Honor.
Robert Nelson, called as a witness by the defendant, having been first duly sworn, was examined and testified as follows.
Would you please state your full name and spell your last name for the record?
Robert T. Nelson. Taylor Nelson? Capital N-E-L-S-O-N.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Nelson. Could you tell us your current employment, please?
Managing Director at Arch Venture Partners.
And could you previously summarize your educational background?
I have a BS in Biology and Economics from University of Puget Sound and MMPA from University of Chicago.
What is Arch Venture Partners?
An early stage venture capital firm that basically hangs out at universities and helps professors commercialize their ideas. That way, when they have revolutionary insight, we help them to create companies around what they do on a nationwide basis.
And do you have a particular focus or concentration in terms of the types of companies that you work with?
I do. Mostly biotechnology, healthcare, investments.
Can you give us examples of the kind of companies you worked with?
We helped to start the company that's been in the news a lot lately that makes the bionic eye and allows blind people to see. And we started the first breast cancer detection system for using computers to detect breast cancer.
How long have you been in the venture capital field?
16 years.
What's your affiliation with Illumina Incorporated?
I'm on the board of directors.
And have you been on the board of directors since the company was formed?
Yes, since its inception.
Are you still currently on the board?
Yes.
Was Arch Venture Partners a seed investor in Illumina?
We invested in the seed round and then all the subsequent rounds prior to the IPO.
And has Arch Venture sold any of its stock in Illumina?
No.
And besides the stock owned by your firm, have you purchased any Illumina stock?
Yes, I purchased stock in the IPO and then in February of this year.
Have you sold any of those shares?
No.
Okay. Generally speaking, can you describe for the court what the role of a board of directors is?
From my perspective, it's to represent the shareholders and kind of be the alter ego of management, kind of the company. And from a 40,000-foot level, you know, hiring and firing the CEO and being the general kind of ultimate authority on big issues, not small issues.
Okay, so not the day-to-day operations of the company?
No.
Do you also serve on a committee that's part of the board of directors?
Compensation committee.
Can you describe for the jury what a compensation committee does?
Compensation committee, in my view, is really in charge of reviewing the executive's compensation and also general compensation philosophy of the corporation.
Prior to working with Illumina, had you ever heard of the plaintiff in this lawsuit, Dr. Zarnik?
No.
Did you meet Dr. Zarnik in connection with your role on the board of directors of Illumina?
Yes.
Were you able to observe and assess Dr. Zarnik as the chief scientific officer of Illumina?
Yes.
How were you able to do that?
I encountered Dr. Zarnik early in the process outside of board meetings in terms of initial investors' meetings, and over time, probably on a bi-monthly basis, within the context of board meetings, and then sometimes during the day outside, before or after board meetings.
So at board meetings, did you see the senior managers give presentations to the board?
Yes.
That would include Dr. Zarnik?
Yes.
Did you develop generally over time an impression of the relative contributions made to Illumina by the various members of the senior management team?
Objection, lacks foundation.
As to what?
He's a board member who sees Dr. Zarnik twice a year, so I would object there's no foundation.
I think that mischaracterizes the witness's testimony. How often were board meetings held at the beginning of the company?
Every 2 months.
So every six times a year, you had an opportunity to observe.
At least.
Okay. So during that first year of Illumina's existence, did you have an opportunity to develop an impression of the relative contributions made by the various members of the senior management team?
Yes, that's part of my role as a board member, but also as an investor.
And having watched Dr. Zarnik give presentations and having sort of a board-level awareness of the company's progress, what were your observations of Dr. Zarnik as the chief scientific officer?
I think Tony, I guess the way I would say it, he peaked early. We came in with a lot of great promise, but relative to the contributions of Mark Chi and John Stulpnagel and eventually Jay, but Mark and John drove the company, continued to drive the company, and made it what it was.
Are you aware of any scientific contributions made by Dr. Zarnik as the chief scientific officer?
I'm not aware of those.
And to your knowledge, did Dr. Zarnik play any role in the company's rounds of financing?
Financings were driven by Mark, John, Larry Bach. In the early stages when Larry was there, Larry would drive it with John. Then it slowly transitioned to be Mark and John. And then when Jay was there, really it became Jay and John.
So over time, John played a continuous role in the financing.
Yes, John in the early days, well, John and Larry were the primary interface kind of a team. In later days, it would be more of, I always have this innate confidence in Mark as a kind of scientific visionary, and then John as kind of the operations guy. And that's kind of what you are investing in. It's really investing the people more than every little detail of the science happening every day. At least, that's my judgment when I invest.
Are you aware that Dr. Zarnik was trying to raise awareness of Illumina through publications, magazines, and newspaper articles?
Yes.
And as a board member, did you view that as a significant contribution?
I think it's a piece of what companies do, is to try to publicize what they did. I really felt that was driven mostly by David Walt's invention, which was getting the PR. David was the guy who invented this technology and is a world-famous scientist in this area. And I think Tony was helpful in getting that out. But in terms of the net contribution to the success of the company, it's a side thing. It's nice to get PR, but it's not a got to have.
So it's not crucial to the progress of the company?
Not central.
Let's go to the year 2000 now. By the time you get to April of 2000, there's a board meeting held April 24th, 2000. So would you say that you had a sense that certain members of the management team were really pulling their weight more than others?
I think, as I stated before, it's my very strong opinion, having watched the company from its inception, that Mark and John were as good as it gets in a startup. They were the people that drove this company from the very beginning. And Tony's performance was just never, was diverging over time. Mark and John were getting better, and Tony was being heard from less.
Before you came in the courtroom, we were watching a videotaped deposition of Rich Pytalewski. Where would you say he fit into the hierarchy of things?
I think Rich may be in a different way. It was clearly driven by Mark and John. And what you start to see in startups, it is such a pressure cooker. You have to be really good to make it work. And we see this all the time in startups, where basically, over time, some people begin not to contribute. They try or they don't try, whatever reason. And then it's driven by a couple of folks. And I think Mark and John, Larry set this company up. Mark and John made the company. And Jay and Mark and John are kind of continuing. That's what I think.
Did Dr. Stulpnagel ever tell you he thought Mr. Pytalewski or Dr. Zarnik were underperforming?
I actually made those judgments on my own. John was actually quite protective of people at the company, and I think continues to remain really protective of some. It was fairly obvious over time just watching. I don't know. My job is to get an innate sense of how an organization is functioning. So any kind of organization, whether it's a school board or a company, you kind of know who the performers are over time, especially if you're observing it over a long period of time. My job is not to get into every detail, is to observe over a long period of time and try to make judgments about who is performing and who is not performing.
By the way, did you attend all the board meetings at Illumina?
I believe so. I don't recall, but I believe so.
Okay. Now, Illumina closed a round of financing in November of 98. There was a board meeting in the following month, December of 98. Did Dr. Stulpnagel report to the board at the December 1998 board meeting anything about the company having some kind of crisis?
I don't recall specific dates, but I don't recall any crises. There are always milestones that aren't met in startups. I've been involved in probably 30 startups. You don't meet milestones, you meet them. And when you are financing them, you kind of expect that there's going to be some slippage and that, you know, kind of make it up later. But Illumina was always kind of a fast riser in my book, and I wasn't very worried about it.
How about February 1999 board meeting? Do you recall if Dr. Stulpnagel reported to the board at that meeting that there were any problems in meeting company milestones?
I don't recall.
Let's go to the compensation committee role that you play. How does the compensation committee try to motivate the members of the senior management team?
Usually through stock options, sometimes through cash bonuses. The general idea is to provide a carrot that people, if they perform, well, to try to motivate them. Kind of general performance and then specific performance through milestones. If you do this, you get something. Then I'm always a firm believer in kind of surprise bonuses, surprise milestones. If people really perform, they get that extra thing. And that's always kind of the most appreciated type of incentive.
What happens if you set a milestone goal for a person and they are no longer at the company when that milestone is achieved?
They don't get it.
Now, do you recall in October of 1999 that the Compensation Committee gave out a series of milestone stock grants to senior managers?
Yes.
Do you recall they were hinged to a deal with a company called Applied Biosystems, or ABI?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you recall what was awarded to the senior management team?
I don't recall the specific amounts, but I think there were bonuses given to Mark and John specifically of some kind of amount of shares or at least milestone. We created a milestone pool to basically say, if you get the ABI deal, you get rewarded.
Why was that so important for the company?
That was a critical deal for this company. They were a company that hadn't been... We needed kind of a stamp of validation by somebody, a big corporation partner with significant resources that says that we believe in your technology, basically, and we were going to help you financially and get you into the world and hopefully change the course of the way we are found.
You heard earlier testimony that Dr. Chi and Dr. Stulpnagel each received 100,000 shares for closing the ABI deal?
Right.
Why did the compensation committee give those shares only to Mark and John?
They were the ones. They were the key individuals responsible for the deal.
What activity did they participate in that made them worthy of those shares?
Mark is the kind of guy that creates innate confidence in the technology, the smartest guy you'll ever meet. You take him out, and people are willing to partner up with him because they believe he's going to get it done. And John is the guy who actually gets it done and makes sure that kind of all the ducks are pointed in the right direction and then goes and lands the deal.
because there's a big difference between kind of thinking you're going to get a deal and getting it. And John was the guy that got it.
Do you recall discussing with Larry Bach and John Stuelpnagel the issue of giving these milestone grants to various senior managers?
Yes.
Do you recall that some stock was also given based on a milestone of achieving certain number of genotypes on a single array to Dr. Zarnik, Dr. Chi, and Mr. Pytalewski?
Yes.
Why were those grants given to those three people?
I think John felt it was important that those guys get something. Actually, I was an advocate of nothing.
You advocated not giving them any shares?
Yeah. And John kind of convinced me that for purposes of not just making everybody angry in the organization, it appeared that there needed to be some kind of milestone set out that was achievable. And a technical milestone like that, other than the ABI milestone, seemed like a reasonable thing. If that milestone was achieved, that would be good for the company. So it fell within a kind of reasonableness.
So would it be fair to say Dr. Stuelpnagel went to bat for the other guys on the team?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Jay Flatley. Did you help recruit Mr. Flatley to Illumina?
Yes.
Did you negotiate with him about his position with Illumina?
Yes, I negotiated his employment agreement.
And through the process of recruiting Mr. Flatley, did you or anybody else on the board tell Mr. Flatley about any performance-related problems with Dr. Zarnik or Mr. Pytalewski?
No.
Mr. Flatley met with various board members as part of this approval process, correct?
Yes.
Did anyone on the board inform Mr. Flatley that Dr. Zarnik or Mr. Pytalewski had performance problems, as far as you knew?
Not that I'm aware of.
So, to the best of your knowledge, based on the board's activities in recruiting Mr. Flatley, would you say Mr. Flatley joined Illumina with a clean slate as far as his impressions of Dr. Zarnik and his past performance?
Yes, absolutely. It's the kind of thing I'm not going to share my concerns unless they are absolutely huge kind of fraud or some other thing. I think the CEO needs to come in and make his or her own decisions about their own team. And I'm not the one to make that decision at that point. If they were to come ask me later, I would tell them.
If you had been asked for your impressions by Mr. Flatley after he was recruited...
Calls for speculation.
Sustained.
Did you or anyone else on the board know, at the time that Mr. Flatley arrived at Illumina, that Dr. Zarnik suffers from clinical depression?
No.
Let's also go back to another compensation committee award that was given to Dr. Stuelpnagel. He was given 25,000 shares for stepping down as the acting president and CEO. Why did the comp committee do that?
I think I have this idea that they call the testosterone award because I've never, and still have never in my career, I doubt I will ever see again, somebody who has the total support of the board to be CEO come in one day and say, I found a better person. John has had my respect ever since that day because I still don't know why he did it. I mean, he believed it was better for the corporation to put his own job on the line, essentially, and say, I've found the best CEO we're ever going to get. So we gave him an extra bonus of stock just for being a good guy, basically.
If someone is being replaced because they are not performing well in a position, would it be appropriate for the comp committee to give them a stock grant just because they helped recruit their successor?
No. No, this was an exceptional thing.
Is it unique to the CEO position, your reaction to this?
I think you can't say that broadly. Any amazing thing that would happen, I would consider something like that. But it would have to be a pretty big deal to go out of your way to give somebody that kind of stock.
Let's jump ahead now a few months to April 2000. Do you recall in April 2000, Larry Bach contacting you about a communication he had with Dr. Zarnik?
Yes.
What do you recall him telling you?
I don't recall any kind of specifics. I recall that Larry and Tony had spoken, or there was some interaction going on between... Some communication was going on between Larry and Tony, but I don't recall who initiated that. But there was some kind of interaction going on between Larry and Tony talking about demands that Tony was making at that time.
So you know that the general subject matter of their communications had to do with some sort of severance negotiations for Dr. Zarnik?
Yes.
And did you, in fact, attend a board meeting held at Illumina on April 24, 2000?
Yes.
Did Mr. Flatley say anything about Dr. Zarnik at that board meeting?
I don't recall.
Do you recall that the topic of severance negotiation came up at the end of that board meeting?
Yes. Around this time, there was a series of calls and discussions regarding severance agreement with Tony. And I was party to some of those conversations with Larry, Tony, and I don't know who else, but others.
So the board was aware that Dr. Zarnik was trying to negotiate a separation package from Illumina?
Yes.
Was there any discussion about goals that were going to be assigned to Dr. Zarnik as a research fellow?
I think at some point, I don't know when, but there was some point where there was a discussion of goals at the board meeting.
What was said about these goals?
I think either me or others brought it up to Jay, and Jay kind of was already ahead of us on that to make sure that if any of the goals were assigned to Tony, that they were fair. And actually, what's interesting about this whole process is that Jay continually, through this whole process, it seems that Jay and John were ahead of the curve in trying to think about fairness. You know, even ahead of the board, thinking about fairness to Tony and in terms of making goals that were realistic and looking for him to succeed and not fail.
So they were trying to incent him to be successful.
They were always trying to incent him. And I would say that there were those on the board, including myself, that might not have been as charitable.
Did you ever hear Mr. Flatley say anything to the effect that although Dr. Zarnik doesn't know it yet, I'm going to assign him goals that he cannot possibly achieve?
That's absolutely not true. Exactly the opposite.
So it was the opposite of the way you perceived Mr. Flatley's approach.
He was always working to make achievable, reasonable things to help Tony succeed if he could. And anything to the contrary to that is absolutely not true.
And again, by the time of this board meeting, had you ever heard Dr. Zarnik suffers from clinical depression?
Which board meeting?
April of 2000.
I don't believe so. Somewhere around that time, I heard that for the first time. I don't recall when.
Did you ever hear anything to the effect that Mr. Flatley had reported to the board that Dr. Zarnik has depression, but that he, Mr. Flatley, did not believe Dr. Zarnik?
No.
Do you recall what the board did about helping to come up with any resolution to that?
There was a set of discussions that were going on. Tony was making certain demands that were unreasonable, in my opinion, and I think we appointed David Walt, or there was some discussion about having David, who knew Tony the best, to talk to Tony and to try to figure out some kind of resolution. Because we had an IPO coming up, and I think we all felt that we were being held up at that point prior to the IPO under duress, because when we were going public, you have to have everything clean. And these things have this, have an interesting timing. Right before the biggest thing that ever happens, somebody comes and says, I want this. I want this. So we wanted just to get this over with.
So did the board agree that Dr. Walt should make a certain offer to Dr. Zarnik?
Yes.
And what happened with that?
I believe they had a conversation and they didn't come to an agreement.
So now, let's go ahead a couple more months to June of 2000. Did you attend a board meeting of Illumina on June 26th, 2000?
I believe I attended.
At that board meeting, did Mr. Flatley report anything further about activities with Dr. Zarnik?
I'm not sure of the specific time. At some point, Tony filed a complaint.
complaint was filed in the May time frame. Let me represent to you in late May. The next meeting would have been the June 26th.
Yes.
So what did Jay say?
Objection, hearsay.
It is hearsay unless it comes in as one of the exceptions.
At this board meeting, did you learn for the first time Dr. Zarnik was alleging discrimination against Illumina?
Either at that board meeting or in a call I usually do with Jay before the board meeting. Usually, I call Jay maybe a couple days before a board meeting and say, Jay, is there anything I need to know about what's going to happen at the board meeting? To make sure there aren't any surprises. It's likely that's when I learned it, a couple days before.
At the board meeting itself, did Mr. Flatley discuss Dr. Zarnik's performance issues?
Objection, hearsay.
I don't think...
You can answer yes or no.
Yes.
Was the topic of Dr. Zarnik's performance goals as a research fellow discussed with the board?
Yes.
And what was said about the...
Hearsay.
Sustained.
Did the board... At the board meeting, was there any decision made about what to do with respect to Dr. Zarnik?
I think we discussed with Jay this concept that I already talked about of making sure that Tony's goals were fair. And Jay took the initiative and pointed out that he was out to have Tony succeed, not fail.
Did you ever see Dr. Zarnik's research fellow goals?
No.
To your knowledge, did the board of directors ever discuss the specific goals assigned to Dr. Zarnik?
No. We usually would not get into that level of detail. With the CEO, like Jay, I think we basically delegate it to him. He is going to, if there's a specific thing that we need to deal with, he's going to bring it up to us. If it's a general concept, we're going to trust Jay to go get it done.
No further questions. Thank you.
Cross-examination?
Thanks, Your Honor. I just have a few questions.